Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 231. We're looking at Acts chapter 7, verses 35 through 43. This is Stephen speaking before the Sanhedrin. Stephen's been accused of blasphemy, blaspheming God and the temple, blaspheming Moses and the law, and telling people not to follow the customs that Moses had handed down. He was brought before the Sanhedrin, and false witnesses came and delivered these false testimonies. And the high priest asks, are these things true? Stephen launches into his defense. His defense consists of a recitation of the history of Israel. And the points he's making are that, one, the people of Israel are more faithful when they're on the move, when they're acting as pilgrims, as nomads, and that they have a propensity throughout history to rebel against the God-appointed leader, against the God-appointed Savior. And he has started out with the promises to Abraham. Then he's talking about how Joseph was used by God to deliver his family and bring them to Egypt where they could prosper and grow to a large population. Then he started talking about Moses. Moses tried to be their deliverer, but was rejected. So Moses had gone into exile. And then God has sent Moses to go back to Egypt to be the deliverer. That's where we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 7, verses 35 through 43. This Moses, whom they rejected when they said, who appointed you a ruler and a judge? This one God sent as a ruler and a deliverer through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out and performed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. He is the one who was in the assembly in the wilderness, with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. With our ancestors, he received living oracles to give to us. Our ancestors were unwilling to obey him. Instead, they pushed him aside, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. They even made a calf in those days, offered sacrifice to the idol, and were celebrating what their hands had made. God turned away and gave them up to worship the stars of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. House of Israel, did you bring me offerings and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephim, the images that you made to worship. So I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. Well, Stephen's making a little shift in his tone here with his history of Israel. He's been just pretty much recounting the history of Israel. But here is where he really nails down the disobedience of Israel, the rebellion against God, or as we could say, their apostasy, that is, their turning away from God, which is what they did. Even though God had sent them this deliverer, sent them Moses as a type, that is, a foreshadowing, someone like the Christ, they still reject him. So verse 35, this Moses whom they rejected when they said, who appointed you as a ruler and a judge? That's when Moses tried to defend the Hebrew who was being abused by the Egyptian, struck down the Egyptian, hid his body, but then the people turned against him and said, who made you the boss of me? And so the question, who appointed you as a ruler and judge? Well, this one God sent as a ruler and deliverer, the angel who appeared to him in the bush. So when they asked the question, who sent you? 40 years later, God sends him back to be the deliverer. This man led them out and performed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. So Moses, who led the people with amazing power, with amazing acts and wonders that he performed, or God performed through him, that's the Moses they're talking about. Verse 37, this is the Moses who said to the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. Now, we've seen this before, this idea that Moses has predicted the coming Messiah. And this was often looked at by the people at that time as a promise of this Messiah who would be a Moses-like figure. And we look back and say, well, that's Jesus Christ, is this Moses-like figure, the one that God has raised up. Verse 38, he is the one who is in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors. That's the Moses we're talking about. He received living oracles to give to us. So living oracles, oracles are proclamations. So you could say that some translations say living words. Well, this suspiciously sounds like the gospel or Jesus who was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and He was life, living words. Verse 39, our ancestors were unwilling to obey Him. Instead, they pushed Him aside, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. So this is speaking of first place they go when they leave Egypt. They cross the Red Sea, and they go to Mount Sinai. And there Moses goes up on the mountain and receives the law. And while he's there, the people want to go back to Egypt. They don't know what happened to Moses. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. So he's just quoting fairly accurately from the book of Exodus here. They even made a calf in those days, offering sacrifice to the idol, and were celebrating what their hands had made. So this is the golden calf incident. While Moses is up on Mount Sinai with God, the people ask Aaron to make an idol for them. He gets gold from them, makes this golden calf, and says, this is your God. And they're sacrificing to the golden calf when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai. Point here, they were celebrating what their hands had made. Now, is he making reference to the temple here? The temple is something that hands have made. Now, he's walking a fine line here between the temple, because the temple is something that God told them to make, something that God told them how to use, and he's going to speak highly of the temple in the next section, but he's also going to challenge the temple, that God doesn't live in the temple. The temple's the temple. The temple's a building, and while they use that temple in their worship of God, make sure that the temple doesn't take the place of God, and they end up actually worshiping the temple, this thing that hands have made. In verse 42, God turned away and gave them up to worship the stars of heaven, as is written in the book of the prophets. Now, the book of the prophets, in their mind, is the minor prophets. The 12 minor prophets are together in the Hebrew Bible as the book of prophets. He's specifically referring to Amos, Amos 5, verses 25 to 27. And what they quote here is actually a quote from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. If you look at your Old Testament, it used a little different names. I'll point those out. Let's read here. House of Israel, did you bring me offerings and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephim, the images you made to worship. So I will send you in exile beyond Babylon. So the words are a little bit different in the Septuagint, where he speaks of the tent of Moloch and the star of the god Rephim and send them beyond Babylon, where the Hebrew Bible talks about you've taken up Succoth your king and Kwan your star god, and I'll send you exile beyond Damascus. The point is still the same. You worshipped false gods, and I'm sending you into exile. Now, interesting point here, and we got to be careful, he's not claiming that the temple has become the tent of Moloch. His issue is their heart. And notice, this is in Amos. Amos takes place about 750 B.C., but he is referenced there in verse 42. He talks about the 40 years in the wilderness. That was about 1600 B.C. So this is significantly later, 900 years later, that Amos is speaking here. And this is immediately leading up to their exile, which is impending. The point being that what happened, the exile, when Babylon conquers Israel and takes them into exile, all that started back in the wilderness. All that started back at Mount Sinai, the golden calf. It's been a simmering thing of the people rejecting the things that God says, rejecting the people that God has sent, refusing to actually follow God. They kind of want to follow God, but they just won't. And he's saying that what happens here in the prophecy of Amos, that's just what's been bubbling up for 900 years since the time of the wilderness. His point he's making to them is that what they're doing in their hearts will lead to a similar kind of rejection by God. He's not putting timelines on it. So he's not making the accusations that the temple is the tent of Moloch. He's saying that what happened with the exile was what happens when you start developing a pattern of rejecting God and refusing to follow God. God turns his back on you and gives you up to your own desires. That's a pretty scary thing. God gives us up to our own desires because we know the wickedness of our own hearts. We know the selfishness of our own hearts. And if God steps back and says, okay, if that's what you want, you can have it. What he's basically saying is you can't have me anymore. You can't have the things of me anymore. And that's what Stephen is accusing the religious leaders here of, is their hearts are much like the hearts of the people at Mount Sinai when they turned to a golden calf and rejected Moses, who God had specifically sent. It's getting clearer and clearer here. He's comparing Jesus Christ to Moses, the deliverer sent by God, but rejected by the people. And while God will still work with the remnant, God will work with who he will work with. As a whole, he will also get to a point where he will just step back. And as he said here, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon. That is, I will let you have that which you want. Well, thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.